This, going to look at the Mormons now, and on the board you have the picture of the angel Moroni. Interesting that Anton LaVey, who's the pastor of the First Satanic Church, says in his Satanic Bible, one of the names of Satan is Mormo, M-O-R-M-O. And this is, the Mormons have taken their name from this, apparently. And the Oxford Dictionary defines the word Mormo as a hobgoblin, bugbear, derived from the Greek Mormo, meaning a hideous she-monster. Doesn't quite fit in with the picture on the screen. So, the followers of Mormo, what would you think they were called? Mormons. Now, the Mormon Church is the owner of the largest genealogy centre in the world. And they use this data to deal with the baptism of the dead. They do this because everyone who's lived on the earth has not had the opportunity of being baptised by the proper authority in the world. Now notice it's the proper authority. So you and I have not been baptised, I might tell you here. You might feel a bit guilty about this, but we've not been baptised by the proper authority because it was done by our ministers. So they use this data, they will deal with the baptism of the dead, and they perform baptism by a living person on behalf of the deceased person, being baptised, of course, in their own church, in the Mormon Church. And to prevent duplication of this going on, they keep a record of all the deceased people that they have baptised. Now this is a threat to Christianity, because this church has about 13.5 million members. Most of them, of course, are in the United States, but they are everywhere in the world. And interestingly, they are also the owners of the Marriott hotel chain. I know nothing about it because I can't afford hotels. So, who founded the Latter-day Saints? This is Joseph Smith. At the age of 14, he wanted to know which of the many religions he should join. And he read a passage in the Bible. He was a Bible student at the time. And it says there that if anybody lacks wisdom, they are to ask God. James 1 verse 5. So early one morning in the spring of 1820, Joseph went to a secluded wood to ask God which church he should join. According to his account, while praying, Joseph was visited by two personages. That one was God the Father, and the other one was Jesus Christ. And he was told not to join any of the churches. In 1823, he was visited by an angel called Moroni, who told him of an ancient record containing God's dealings with the former, listen to this, with the former inhabitants of the American continent. And in 1827, I'll come back to that a little later. In 1827, Joseph retrieved this record inscribed on thin golden plates. And shortly afterwards, as the plate, began translating its word by the gift of God. And that's where we get from him a book that was published in 1830, the Book of Mormon. On April the 6th, 1830, Joseph Smith organized the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, as we know them as the Mormon, and he became their first president. He and several of the leaders of this church became Freemasons. Now he was a Freemason, I'm sure, but they can't prove it, before he started the church. But anyway, afterwards he became one. And he and his co-founders from the Latter-day Saints started up a lodge in Nauvoo, Illinois. In March 1842. As soon as he joined, or started the church up, he began to put in a lot of symbolism and ceremonies very similar to Freemasonry. Now, I haven't spent a lot of time on this, but if you see Mormons in their temple, they wear the apron, and they wear special clothes, and they have to do special things. Outsiders are not allowed into a Mormon temple, so we'd not be able to see it. But he was a 33 degree Mason, and he remained a Freemason until his death. He was persecuted for almost all of his life, and he was killed along with his brother by a mob in Carthage. Now, how can we say that they had some association, apart from the fact we know that they were Freemasons, with Freemasonry? If you look on this particular one, this is off their temple in Salt Lake City, the biggest one they've got. See there? The Eye of Horus. The sun god. And there is Baphomet. And there he is again. And there he is again. And these are taken off of their temples. So we can see on the temples of the Mormons, we have the Freemasonry symbolism. They were organized by a Freemason. So now we need to ask ourselves, what do they believe? I'm going to take the stuff on their internet site. It's always difficult to go on the site of the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. When I went on the Jehovah's Witnesses one, I felt as if they were going to knock on my door any second. Because that's the impression they give you when you get on their site. So it is difficult to get some of the stuff out of there. But what they believe about God, this is really interesting, I found, when I managed to do this. God is our Father in heaven. These are their beliefs, right? Like we do ours. You know what do Adventists believe? You put a whole list of them out. And this is their list from their side. Not my words, their words. And again, the red is mine, just to emphasize their mistakes. God is our Father in heaven, who created us in his own image. Like him, we are divine in our nature and purpose. What did the Freemasons say? Second eye of their beliefs, we lived with God. Get that? Before this life, as his spirit children, we came to earth to gain a body and to learn and grow. So they believe that they existed from all eternity. They believe they were there before creation. They first existed as intelligences. And we never really get a definition of what they mean by spirit, but you get the idea that it is just something that wanders around like a ghost. And so they've existed forever, and they've always been around God in one form or another. Jesus Christ is our Saviour and Redeemer and the only begotten Son of God the Father. That sounds good, but we'll come to that perhaps a little later. So, what do Freemasons believe about God? According to the traditional literature, Mormon interpretation of the Book of Abraham, Kolob, K-O-L-O-B, is an actual star or planet in this universe that is the physical throne of God. They may also believe that God was once a human being. It is necessary, this is from their literature, not me, it is necessary that we should understand the character of being of God and how he came to be so. For I am going to tell you how God came to be God. There are incomprehensible ideas to some, but they are simple. It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another. One man converses with another. And that he was once a man like us. Yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did. And as shown in this chapter, our Father in heaven was once a man, as we are now, capable of physical death. By obedience to the eternal gospel principle, who's obeying that? God is. he progressed from one stage of life to another until he attained the state we call exaltation or Godhood. Want a few seconds to absorb that? That is blasphemy. Blasphemy. And if you think that book was a bit out, here's another one. Search the Commandments. These are Mormon books. All right. God was once a man as we are now. So it's not just in one place. The Mormon doctrine of God holds that God and man are essentially of the same species, and that God the Father has a body of flesh and bones. He is not uniquely self-existent, transcendent, or eternal. Neither is he truly the creator of all things, for he is one among potentially billions of gods, and does not even have the ability to create matter. As Brigham Young University professor David Paulson once put it, God does not have absolute power, but rather the power to maximally utilize natural laws to bring about his purpose. That's one of their research books. All the books that have their reference at the bottom of all the statements I'm making. This is one of the most important teachings of Mormonism. They believe that God was once a mortal man, and who was on a planet, and he progressed by living in obedience to what laws, I don't know, because they don't tell you, and by obeying those, he died, and then he became a resurrected man and evolved to become a god. It also, they also tell us that he was married. And some of their leaders say that he actually had quite a few wives. He was a polygamist. And he created this world in once he was married. They worship the one God, which is really one God amongst millions or billions, the Mormons. How they chose the one to worship, we're not told. And they believe that they will follow in God's footsteps and become perfect, and they too will become gods or goddesses, and they will create spirit children, and they will therefore be able to people other worlds. They're going to become creators.
It's a bit like Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness believe we'll have children in heaven.
The way of Jehovah's Witnesses when we come is slightly different from these. But you notice there is, when I've done the Freemasons, you notice how there's similarities between some of the things they believe. They believe they're going to become gods.
Yeah.
All the way through. Let's go on to their beliefs again. Still from their literature as to what they actually believe. God revealed truths and communications through modern prophets, just as he did with the ancient prophets in biblical times. The Bible is a sacred book of scripture that serves as an important pillar of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints is the complete restoration of Christ's original church on earth. The rest of us are not. And the Book of Mormon is a book of scripture that teaches about Jesus Christ's visit to the ancient Americas. There he is, in America. After Christ died, according to the Mormons, he was resurrected, and he first visited his disciples in Israel. He then is supposed to have moved off to America to visit his faithful followers in ancient America. And the Book of Mormon describes that during his visit, Jesus Christ healed their sick, taught them his gospel, blessed their children, and called 12 disciples to organize his... Which church do you think they organized? Church of Latter-day Saints, yeah. And you'll find that in one of their gold tablets. It's the Book of Nephi. So, what about life after death? And they say in their statement, life after death is a natural extension of our current life, where we will return to live with those that have gone before us. Spiritualism? Death is not the end. Death is really a beginning. Another step forward in Heavenly Father's plan for His children. Someday, like everyone else, your physical body will die, but your spirit does not die. It goes to the spirit world where you will continue to learn and progress and may be with loved ones who have passed on. Death is a necessary step in your progression, just as your birth was. Sometimes after your death, your spirit and your body will be reunited, never to be separated again. This is called resurrection. And it was made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now those two statements are explanation of the previous statements, which you'll find on their site. Now the Latter-day Saints have a manual which they use in their Sunday school. Now this is for children, ages 8 to 11. Alright, so we're going to look at their manual. I've got this off their site again. And the first one, it says, in the pre-mortal life we were spirit children and lived with our heavenly parents. Now the Mormons use scripture, but it's slightly changed. Always doubt any religion that's got their own version of any Bible. So they have misinterpreted our scriptures here, even though they quote them as being ones there, but they misinterpret them. Jesus was the firstborn spirit child of Heavenly Father, and that's taken from Doctrines and Covenants, and is the older brother of our spirits. He's our older brother. Lucifer, who became Satan, was also a spirit child of the Heavenly Father. So the two oldest spirits are Satan and Christ. They're brothers. Alright? Absorb that. Satan and Christ are brothers. They must be. They're the spirit child of God. Heavenly Father called a meeting for all his spirit children. At this meeting he explained his plan for us to become like him. At this meeting, Heavenly Father also explained that on earth we would all sin and we would all die. Heavenly Father needed someone to be the Saviour, to suffer for our sins and to die for us so that we could be resurrected. Lucifer wanted Heavenly Father to change his plans. Lucifer said he would save everyone by taking away their freedom to choose. Lucifer also wanted all the honour. Now Moses is of course their book of the Bible. Because he loved us, Jesus volunteered to be our Saviour. He wanted to follow Heavenly Father's plan and give the glory to Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father chose Jesus to be our Saviour. Lucifer was angry. This is for 8 to 11 year olds. And Lucifer was angry. Sorry? This is their Sabbath school lesson. This is their Sunday school lesson, not Sabbath school. Alright, this is for 8 to 11 year olds. They're taught this. This is off their site. I've not made this up. This is off their site. I downloaded it. Later, Lucifer was angry and rebelled against Heavenly Father. And see how they misquote Revelation again in the method they're using it. Heavenly Father's spirit children had to decide whether to follow Jesus or Lucifer. A lot to take in, isn't it? This, I might tell you, this study took me longer than any other study I've ever done. Because I didn't believe what I was reading. And one third of Heavenly Father's spirit children chose to follow Lucifer, not the angels of heaven. Do you notice this? They're us, basically, because we're the spirit children according to them. And they were all cast out of heaven. Lucifer became Satan, and the spirits who followed him became evil spirits who tried to get us to do wrong things. These spirits, this is interesting, these spirits that followed Satan did not receive physical bodies. So, Lucifer convinced one third, not of the angels, but of his brothers and sisters, to join his rebellion, and they were expelled from heaven. And they don't have physical bodies. That's interesting, isn't it? Don't have physical bodies. Because they're evil spirits. And don't forget, we talk about evil spirits in Scripture. All the spirits who chose Heavenly Father's plan and followed Jesus in their pre-mortal life have been or will be born on earth with physical bodies of flesh and blood. So two-thirds become humans and are born on earth. And there must be still quite a few up there. Now, whether they're the babies that are to be born or not, I don't know. Perhaps that's the ones that are going to come down and be born. They're already up there waiting to get down here to get a physical body. And all this doctrine that's been given to these very young children is taken from Joseph Smith's revelation in the book of Abraham and the book of Moses. And it's in the Pearl of Great Price, which he talks about it. And the last one, part of this lesson, it says, all the children in this classroom choose to follow Heavenly Father's plan and have been born on earth with mortal bodies. And you'll find that in Primary 7, the New Testament, and there's in the Children's Manual, ages 8 to 11. I'm not lying here. This is the truth from them. So, are we convinced that this is an occult religion?
Yeah.
Good, because I've got more on it. Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower,